Our scripture this morning is found in the book of Acts, the first chapter, reading from verses 1 through 11. For those of you who would like to follow along in your pew Bibles, it's found on page 1077. Reading from the book of Acts. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Here ends the reading.
I don't know how well all of you were able to see that there is a green square up here in the chancel area. Some of you have a higher perspective than some others. It is a square. It is a puzzle of multiple pieces. They're all cut to a different shape. That's the easiest one. And one side's unpainted, so you know the bottom, and so the green is up. I'm very tempted to have those energetic confirmands come up and do this initiative challenge for us, but we'll save that for next Sunday. Okay, we'll do this in class. This is an initiative challenge that's called Caution Construction Zone. And so you lay these pieces out. You have six or eight participants stand around and look at it. And then you pass out blindfolds to some of the group, and they put those blindfolds on. And then those that can still see pick up the puzzle pieces, mix them all up, and set them aside. And then the sighted group members then guide and encourage those that are blindfolded on how to put the puzzle back together. And it only goes together one way. And if you could have, and I wish we had time, but sometimes this can take 5 minutes. I think the longest has been 25 minutes, depending upon who is blindfolded and who's speaking up on those kind of things. But it's an initiative challenge that is an amazing way to learn the different personalities and the different ways we like to think and like to act. As a leader of these, I get to stand back and watch them. And if we had the time and had somebody doing this, you would have the opportunity to observe, and most likely, this is what you might hear or see. Somehow, whenever I have blindfolds and I say put them on, you're going to hear groans from some of the people because they don't want to be blindfolded. But once they're blindfolded and they start to move around, you might also quickly understand that some people talk before they think. I don't know if you're aware of any of that reality. And they might start directing the blindfolded people on, and yet sometimes they're talking before they think, and so they're giving instructions that require the blindfolded people to be able to see. And you'll get to observe that kind of slow start. And as it goes by, you'll start to see that there are normally one or two people who will jump up and say, here, you guys wear the blindfolds, and we're going to do this. You'll get to see and observe who in the group is going to take a leadership role and who's going to kind of sit back and wait to be told what to do. And most every time I've done this, after about 5 minutes, you're also going to observe one or two people. They're just going to sit back and take it easy because they're bored with the activity and they want it just to get done by everybody else. An initiative challenge is a communication skills kind of activity, and there's all kinds of things to observe. It's a fascinating way to observe how a group of people can either work together to accomplish the goal or how they might not be able to work together to do that very well, and so then you know what to work on with that group. In the words of Acts 1:1-11 that Roger has read for us this morning, we might be able to grasp that Jesus left his disciples with an initiative challenge. He had prepared them those previous 3 years, and then for those 40 days that he had been in his resurrected body on earth, he prepared them to take on the initiative of being his witnesses to the world and beginning the early Christian church. An initiative challenge I want you to think about in being terms of the church this morning. The book of Acts is set up in the final chapter of the Gospel of Luke. For Luke, the physician, wrote both the Gospel and he wrote Acts, which is a history book. And he was the author of both, and he ends his gospel with the same account that he begins the history book of Acts. You can find Luke 24, verses 50 through 53 in your Bible. In the Pew Bible, it's on page 1048, or you can turn to the sermon outline in the bulletin and find these words from Luke 24, 50. When Jesus had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Those ending verses of the Gospel of Luke lead us to the beginning of Luke's history account in the book of Acts. Luke ends with, and Acts begins with, the ascension of Jesus, when Jesus was lifted or taken up into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Luke wrote what we've heard, in my former book, Theopolis, in the Gospel of Luke, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Jesus had left, and he had left the apostles, the disciples, with the initiative challenge, but he prepared them. And as we are disciples in today's world, he has prepared us. He has prepared us. In Acts 1, verses 1 through 11, those verses detail the period of Jesus' resurrection from the grave until the day of ascension. He tells us that what Jesus did following his resurrection, when Jesus, in his resurrected body, spent those ensuing 40 days physically present in the earth, on the earth, with his disciples, and going on and setting up that initiative challenge. And Luke, in his book of Acts, tells us what Jesus did in those 40 days. He gave instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles. Disciples are followers. Apostles are leaders. And so the disciples, who were following Jesus no longer had Jesus to physically follow, so they became the apostles of the early church, and he gave them instruction through the Holy Spirit. In those 40 days, Jesus showed himself, and he gave many other convincing proof that he was alive. You have to remember, the aspect of resurrection was new to them. And here this Jesus was, they had seen him crucified on the cross, and he arose, and there were people that doubted that, and yet he gave convincing proofs over a period of 40 days. They were probably expecting a 41st day or a 42nd day with Jesus. They didn't know that on this 40th day, Jesus would be taken up. They were with him. Jesus commanded his apostles to stay in Jerusalem and wait. Had to stay in Jerusalem and wait. They didn't know how long they were going to have to wait. I was involved in a Habitat Playhouse build yesterday, and we were done, and we had to wait. And we had to wait. And we had to wait for three of the group members to put on all these special stickers and decals on the outside and the inside. I got to put on, I'm sorry anybody that has red, I got to put on the John Deere tractor logo on the front door. But only two people could fit in this playhouse, two adults, and so we had to wait. It seemed like it took an hour and a half. It was only 20 minutes. But it took forever. Well, the disciples, they had to wait, not knowing when their waiting would be over. And then finally, Jesus spoke of Israel's restoration, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the need for the apostles to be those witnesses, to go to the people. And then, having accomplished the final steps of preparation, Jesus ascended up to heaven. In verses 9 and 10, we read again, Jesus was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. And while the disciples, now apostles, again moving from followers to leaders, while the apostles gazed intently upward, they were suddenly joined by two men dressed in white, who stood beside them, asking those apostles a very pointed question in verse 11. Why do you stand here looking in the sky? I want you to try and mentally imagine that scene. There they were standing around. One moment Jesus is talking, and then he starts to levitate. You ever see somebody levitate? I mean, you'd be a little surprised, wouldn't you? And they're in awe and they're amazed. And he's taken up before their very eyes. And as they are looking up intently, suddenly he disappears in the clouds. They lose sight of him. Now, it was the second time that Jesus had left the disciples on earth. The first time was when he went to the cross. And then the day of resurrection, well, now they knew and they understood from his teaching he wasn't going to return this time. And so they were looking up intently at that scene. And suddenly, two men appeared, and they asked this question. They were dressed in white. That's biblical description of messengers from the Lord. And they asked this question. Why do you stand here looking in the sky? If you think back to the crucifixion, at that time, the disciples thought it was all over. The hope and the promise that Jesus had taught them, had shared with them, they thought that was all gone. And then came 3 days later, Easter morning, and that hope was realized, and that promise was alive. And they reveled in that, and they had great joy in that, in those 40 days after the resurrection. And then came the day of ascension. They had enjoyed that additional time with the Lord, but then on day number 40, Jesus was again taken away. And this time, they got to see him ascend to heaven. And there the apostles were. They were dwelling in the moment around the challenge of being the witnesses. Jesus was no longer there. They had to take on the responsibility. He was gone for good this time in terms of physical presence. He was no longer there to teach and to guide and to encourage. Scripture doesn't tell us, but I often wonder, how long did they stand there? Was it seconds? Was it minutes? Again, I was in Delta yesterday with this Habitat Playhouse and a little closer to the airport, and it was cloudy where I was, but you heard the roar of some of those big planes, but you couldn't see them. They were lost in the cloud, and we were looking around waiting to see what they looked like. And we waited, and we looked. How long did the apostles stand there looking intently up in the sky? It was a natural moment of awe and wonder. And then that question by those two men dressed in white, why do you stand here looking into the sky? For those apostles, I believe it was a very startling question. In reality, it's a very simple question. And I think that question is so simple that it's a call for action. They no longer could just stand and look, but they had to be about the action of witnessing and beginning the early church. Luke wrote of this in his earlier work in Luke 24:52. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Bible scholars tell us that that great joy is a sense that they know even though Jesus has ascended, he has promised that he will be with them forever till the end of the age. And so they had this joy. And in this living this joy, they assumed the responsibility. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? It is a call to action for the disciples, for the followers of Jesus, to begin to launch the early Christian church. And as we read this passage this morning, I would wholeheartedly pronounce this passage as a call for action for us in today's world. We've sung it once again. We know people need the Lord. We ourselves need the Lord. People in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, the ones we look for and the ones we want to avoid, we all need the Lord. In preparing for Friday morning's memorial service in memory of Bernice Rice, a 102-year-old saint of the faith, I was so blessed to have been given several pages of what Bernice had put down in her own hand, several pages describing her life from 1920 to 2022. To understand how she came to faith and what she did on the farm and at work and all of those relatives that she enjoyed. And it was a great blessing to be handed her Bible that she was given at Christmas time in 2008. And it was very well worn on the outside. And I think it was double in size because of everything, every note card and everything that she put in there. And just looking at her humble servant heart, to know that she was a witness for the love and the grace of Jesus. And that continues to dwell in my mind as I think about this passage today. The spiritual council is once again in that mix of making those nominations and following up with those calls. For who in the congregation will receive those calls to respond, to not just stand there and look, but to respond with willingness to have their name up for the office of president or secretary or elder or deacon and deaconess? Who will get involved in the initiative challenge of church leadership and ministry? Knowing the truth of the Gospels as the disciples experienced in their walking with Jesus. We are to be those witnesses, not just standing around wondering, what can I do or where can I fit? But to answer those questions, either through your own study of Scripture and prayer, or talking with somebody else about how you can serve the Lord. Because we're all filled with the power of God. And God has expectations on each of us as to where we're going to be walking or traveling or interacting with. And we're called to be people of action. We're called to go and go and go. And then I want to close by the very important truth that is revealed in Acts 1, verse 11. It is the promise of the second coming. It says, "This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Not only did Jesus ascend, he gave us some information that, number one, he's going to return. And how he's going to return is revealed in the scripture. The disciples did not know that day 40 was the day of ascension. It happened. Now, I wish I could tell you that on March 8th, 2025, God has revealed to me that Jesus is going to come back. How many of you would believe me? No one? You know the scripture says, only the Father knows. We are not to know the day or the time when Christ is going to return. The disciples didn't know when he was going to ascend. We don't know when he's going to return. But as they watched him go up into heaven in the sky, Scripture also reveals to us that he's going to come to us in the cloud. He's going to descend once again in that return. And as disciples and followers and apostles and leaders, we have to rest in the joy of that promise to the glory of God and with peace to his people. Amen.
At this time, we'll have our prayer of dedication and sharing our tithes and offerings. Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, please use our offerings to you to advance your kingdom. Please enable us through your Holy Spirit to be witnesses for you in all that we do and say in our daily lives. In Jesus' name, we ask this. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward for our offering?
On this fourth Sunday of the month, I invite our ushers to come back in for our second offering that will go towards our Imagine Your Faith Building Capital campaign. Almost a year ago, on November 14th, 2021, at a special meeting of the congregation approved the work of the facility committee and their proposed solution for improvements to the restrooms, the sanctuary, and accessibility in general. They also approved a budget not to exceed $1.6 million, and they called for the consistory to form a building committee to formulate a comprehensive building plan and provide a firm quote of construction that would be brought before the congregation for further action. In order to formulate that building plan and to provide a firm quote of construction, the building committee must work with an architectural firm. Over the past several months, the building committee comprised a lengthy list of potential architectural firms. They narrowed that list down to seven, and of those seven firms, they were sent an RFP, a request for proposal, and of those seven, the building committee held interviews with three firms. Thursday evening of this last week, they held their third and final interview, and then they had enjoyed a delicious dinner provided by Betsy Red, and then they continued to meet to try and decide which of the three firms they would recommend we contract with. I think it's the quickest action I've seen in the life of the church. I think it was within 30 seconds there was a unanimous decision to work with one of the three. We're not able to share that name with you yet because Jeff Rulledge, as chairperson, is following up with the two that are not going to be given the contract and then touch base with the selected firm. And so in short time, we'll be able to share that with you. But after another year of work, we're getting this much closer to actual. And so in the coming weeks and hopefully the beginning of the year, we will start to have further plans and begin to share that with you as a congregation.
Please stand if you are able. And let us sing our closing hymn. Our closing hymn is Freely, Freely. It is found on page number 447 of the red hymnals at your pew if you choose to follow along there, sing along. Then we will have our spoken benediction and then our benediction and song. Our benediction and song is page number 313 in your red hymnal. It is named, Lord, Lay Some Soul Upon My Heart. So let us sing Freely, Freely.
Thank you.
go forth in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and others, because of your belief, will know that Jesus lives. Amen.